This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
This conversation is brought to you by Sun Life Malaysia.
7:17 in the morning, you're listening to The Morning Run with Shazana Chuang and Chen Li. Today's show is sponsored by the letters E, S and G, which of course stands for Environment, Social and Governance.
Because Environment, Social and Governance, or ESG investing, has seen strong inflow with record $650 billion poured into such focus funds last year. And this is up from $542 billion in 2020 and $285 billion in 2019, marking more than $1 trillion poured into ESG funds in the last 3 years. And with such strong inflow, it's easy to assume that businesses will value ESG practices.
Yeah, but many leaders and investors still see an inherent trade-off between choosing a more sustainable future and achieving business growth and profit. This is because some ESG-related spending, a capital expense to reduce energy use, opting for renewables, paying living wages as purely higher costs and not an investment.
So what is the reality of ESG investing from a Malaysian perspective? How is it growing, and are investors here truly interested in going green with their money? For more on the ESG investment landscape here, we speak to Andrew Chan, Southeast Asia Sustainability and Climate Change Leader at PwC. Andrew, good morning. Thanks very much for joining us today. Now, if we contrast Malaysia with global growth patterns, what's the pace of ESG investing here? Are we seeing growth in this space?
Thanks for the question. We see the similar demand for ESG assets. So if I just take what's happened in the last month or two, 31st of March, we had EPF launch its own sustainable investment framework, highlighting its focus to support companies to transition to higher ESG standards. And then just last month, we had PNB launch its own sustainability framework. And in that one, they specifically earmarked $10 billion of its portfolio to specifically invest in green and transition assets. So we are seeing that trend. And then if we look at different asset classes like private equity, we've seen a lot of focus around emerging businesses that they can support. And they're actively looking at these ESG growth sectors. And then if I just take it to a company level, we've seen examples from some PLCs, let's say Tanaga National's International Asset Group has grown their own renewable energy platform in Europe by 40% capacity just within the last year. So we're definitely seeing a lot of growth towards ESG sectors.
So how have ESG stocks or investments fared compared to conventional investing? And on average, how has the performance been?
In general, what we've seen over the past decade or so is outperformance from more ESG-focused stocks. If we look locally, our Bursa FTSE4Good index outperformed the KL Composite Index by 314 basis points from May 21 to May 22. Why are we seeing this? Typically, investors see the quality of ESG performance to be a good indicator of the quality of management of the company and the quality of decision making. So, for example, is management taking a long-term or a shorter-term view on decisions? Are they going for a profit maximization approach? Or are they going for value optimizing? Are they still focusing on shareholder primacy? Or have they moved to stakeholder considerations? So this is a good indication around the quality of the company overall. ESG is just one of those indicator points, as opposed to saying just stronger ESG is solely responsible for outperformance.
Yes. So what are the challenges when it comes to promoting ESG investing among investors in Malaysia?
Unfortunately, we have a lot of challenges still, and it's not necessarily unique to Malaysia, and we see common themes across the sector. So one of the common issues is very systemic is the quality of ESG data. It's not necessarily good enough for investors and for other finance providers to really sharpen their focus of their portfolio. The quality of disclosures can also lead to issues of greenwashing, where some investors might think they're investing in more ESG assets, but there could be over-promotion of some of those green features, leading some investors to fall into a bit of the greenwashing trap. P- Part of this is also to do with definitions, and hence regulators coming up with multiple taxonomies to help define what is actually considered green and what's not considered green, to create that separation. The other issue that we have is the size of the universe. So your first question, you talk about the growth of ESG investment. The question we have in Malaysia is, do we have enough ESG-focused assets to support the increasing demand? Or is it a case where our investors have to invest locally now with a view that they will use that investment position to help work with those PLCs to develop their ESG performance and become higher? So that's a question each investor needs to look at themselves. Do they invest locally? What is their mandate? Or do they go immediate international ESG stocks? If they invest locally, there is impact, obviously, in terms of uplifting adaptability and resilience of our local companies to the impacts of climate change, labor rights, and so on.
Andrew, investors will, of course, look to maximize profits. How do we balance this profit versus responsibility paradigm and show that one can still make returns without sacrificing values?
It is a big paradigm. And we have heard company directors also engaging with their institutional investors and asking, are we allowed to deliver lower dividends in the short term if we're pivoting more on our ESG response and transitioning our business model? The answers coming back are no. So it's in line with our global survey that investors are not willing to accept a lower rate of return. However, I just add, in the same survey, 75% of investors said they thought it's worth companies sacrificing short-term profitability to address ESG issues. But I would say from a local perspective, what we've seen so far is that investors want the companies to look harder into the transition options towards lower carbon, towards ESG, high ESG practices. What are the options? What are the pathways available? And take the options that don't result in short-term financial returns drop. Another lens I would flag into this is that investors are also seeing the need to pivot to sustainability as part of their fiduciary duty.
Let's talk about ESG compliant. How do I pick and know which professional or if they are following the proper criteria?
First of all, everyone needs to define what ESG compliance means to them. EPF, in their sustainable investment framework, they defined what ESG compliance means to them, given that they have a 2030 target to have their portfolio ESG compliant. So they defined that across six priority sectors, and then across climate change and workers' well-being thematic areas. So that's the first point, define what ESG compliance means to you. The second point is then understanding, how is the investor including these criteria? Are they following ESG indices? Are they using specific ESG data providers? Are they actually doing their own direct due diligence with the companies themselves? All of that matters, and it has different levels of confidence on how authentic the companies that they're investing in are responding on ESG. The other point you can consider is the disclosures being made by the investors. For example, some of the leading investors on ESG disclose their policies, whether it's to do with forced labor, whether it's to do with climate change, whether it's to do with types of mining, or whether it's to do with their stewardship approach. They will often disclose these policies and make them available. The final point is, for those of us looking at this on a retail basis, is to speak to your broker on advice.
What's your outlook for ESG investing in Malaysia? What's the growth trajectory like?
For me, I would say ESG is here to stay, but I might have a biased lens on that. But I truly believe we've hit the tipping point now. We've seen our institutional investors really pivoting towards this. We've seen movements in our regulators, Bursa Malaysia, Bank Negara, Securities Commission. We've seen the commitments at the government level including this in budget, in our 12th Malaysia plan, and so on. So I think we've hit the tipping point. Malaysia ourselves are faring quite well compared to our ASEAN peers. We are second on a number of metrics. What I'd say is that demand will continue to grow, but I'd also say demand is likely to outstrip supply. So just coming back to how investors take a stance, whether in the short term they feel they need to move their funds overseas, or will they get involved with local companies, actively engage with them to uplift performance? And then the final point I'd say is that we're going to see more collaboration in this space. Investors already have the Institutional Investors Council. There's the Capital Markets Malaysia Sustainable Investment Platform. We've seen the CEO Action Network grow in size and their reach, collaborating with the likes of Climate Governance Malaysia as well.
Andrew, thanks very much for speaking with us. That was Andrew Chan, Southeast Asia Sustainability and Climate Change Leader at PwC, talking to us about the ESG investment landscape here in Malaysia. It's here to stay. It's something that you definitely want to consider if you have not already. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
This conversation was brought to you by Sun Life Malaysia, your lifetime insurance and takaful partner.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.